We're going to be in Psalm chapter 96 this morning as we continue on in our series, Hope Has a Song. And, you know, we've been walking through different psalms. And I think this one, we've kind of done and been in some lamenting psalms. We're going to enter into some time of joy here. So Psalm 96, please read with me this morning. We read this. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all peoples. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. He judges the peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness. Please pray with me. God, what a word from you this morning, already from our children, and a word directly from you through Psalm 96, praying that you would please speak to us this morning. We're desperate for a word from you. We want to hear from you, and there's a room full of people. Lord, we're ready to respond. So give us ears to hear, and may our hearts be open to what you are wanting to say today through your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I think it's so fitting that we are in Psalm 96 right after this amazing time of worship with our kids this morning. It's almost like these little image bearers of God were created for this. We are all created for what they just did. Every single one of us have been created for this very purpose, to sing to the Lord, to praise his name. You were created to do what they were just doing. And that's why you see the joy on their faces. Maybe some of these little ones don't even really understand what they're singing, but they're created for it. And it brings them joy, almost all of them. We had a few tears wanting their dad or mommy. But hey, amazing, and this is what we've been created for. Hey, back in 2019, I ate at one of the most amazing steak restaurants, I think, in the world. I've only eaten steak in this country, so I'm not sure I can really make the claim, but it was a place called Garden Grace. So it's got a biblical name in there, so you already know you're on the right track. This was over in Denver, and they have another one in Texas now. Most amazing steaks I've ever had. And I say steaks because I ordered a filet flight, three different types of filets. It was amazing. And let me tell you, when I was sinking my teeth into these things, I was singing the praises of the place, of the person who made the steaks. I was treating everyone amazing in the restaurant. We were high-fiving in the restaurant, literally. It was that amazing. Anybody ever had a steak that good which leading you to high-five? I mean, you haven't had steak. It was making me high five. I mean, singing the praises. And ever since that moment, I mean, think, I'm talking about it right now. It's 2025. This was August of 2019. I'm talking about it right now. It did something to me. I not only like talked a lot about it in the restaurant, like we're eating, like this is amazing. This is, you know, high fiving the guy that we ended up having to sit at the bar because there were no tables available. So we're telling the bartender, like, this is the most amazing experience ever. And since that moment, I've been singing the praises of this place and talking about it. I'm sharing with you about it. My concern is that I've overhyped it. Have you ever overhyped something? So this was back in 2019. I'm concerned if I ever go back, I'm going to think this is nothing at all like I remembered in my head. I've overhyped the place. You know, there is someone that you can never overhype, and that is God Almighty. You cannot overhype God Almighty. When you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and you've seen his glory, it does something to you. Those of you who have experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. It does something to you. You can't overhype God. There's never a moment where I've like experienced the glory of God, maybe in a moment of worship, and I've gone home and been like, well, that was a letdown. No. When you have tasted and seen that he is good, it does something to you and it changes you. And our big idea for today is this: when you have seen his glory, the glory we see becomes the glory we sing and share. The glory we see becomes the glory that we sing and we share. Number one, I want to look at the call to sing. The context of Psalm 96 is actually 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Those of you familiar with this, the Ark of the Covenant is making its way back into Jerusalem. People they're going nuts. They're having the time of their lives. Trumpets are blaring. Harps are playing. People are dancing like they are throwing down because this represented the presence of God coming into Jerusalem. So people are ecstatic. They're going crazy. King David, by the way, throwing it down so hard on the dance floor that his wife is furious. She's like, "What are you doing, David? It's going down." People are excited. And so that's the context here. And look at what we see in Psalm 96:1 in verse 1. The psalmist writes this: "Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord." So we are commanded here to not just sing a song to the Lord. This is a new song to the Lord. And the command reflects a pattern that we see throughout the Psalms, God's people responding to the mighty acts of God with a new, fresh expression of praise to God. Now, we're not saying don't sing old songs. That would really be twisting the passage at that point. We're not saying don't sing old songs. But we are saying that there's this repetitive pattern within the Psalms of new songs of praise being offered up to God. Why is that? Because his mercies are new every single morning. We are not working or not responding to just centuries-old mercies. There's new mercies, and new mercies call for new songs. So quite literally, there should be a new song of praise on our heart. There should be something new that we are praising God for because we're responding to something fresh that has happened in our lives. In fact, I would argue a marker of a healthy church is what are they singing in the church? Again, now we need to back up. There's nothing wrong with singing hymns of old. In fact, those of us who grew up in church, there's something special when we're singing hymns of old. It does something in your heart. So, I'm a hymn guy. I got hymns playing in my truck all the time. I love it, right? And we are called to remember God's faithfulness to us in the past. We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. So many of the Psalms look backwards to really ultimately when God saved you. So this is good to refresh our mind when God does something in our heart and changes us. But a marker of a healthy church, we could argue a marker of what would represent a healthy church is there's a new song on their lips as well. There's something new being expressed within that congregation, something special that has happened in their lives, something fresh, something new. This would represent something responding to something fresh that has happened in your life. You know, there's not a person in this room who has not experienced somebody telling you a story they've told you before. Anybody ever experienced that? And if we were all honest, we've all done it. And you realize you're like 2 minutes into the story, and if they're gracious, they just let you share it. And then if they're not gracious, they're like, "Yeah, you've already told me that." And that's the most, that is nothing worse than that. You've already told me the story. Or they finish the story for you, and then they're kind of laughing to make you feel good. There's nothing worse than, you hear these amazing stories, and my dad's the king of this. I love my dad. Amazing man of God, but he's the king of sharing with me these same stories, right? I love it though. And the story's amazing when you hear it once, but then 10 times in, you're like, "Yeah, Dad, it's cool, dude." You know? Think about God's always doing something fresh in our lives. Again, his mercies are new every morning. New mercies call for new songs, and there should be something fresh on our heart. I think about if I were to go back, I'm preaching at the church that planted Sunrise. We planted 12 years ago. I'll be preaching back there back at the end of the year. And imagine if I, am standing before these amazing people of God, my second family, and I'm like, God has been so faithful. He is amazing. His mercies are new every morning. And I just want to share with you some things he's doing. And then I shared this story. I was like, you know, 12 years ago, he worked the miracle of our miracles. And this was a miracle. Actually, 13 years ago, we needed money and we were desperate for money. We needed like $50,000. And God came through, and through the North American Mission Board and our pastor, Jim Perdue, he provided us a no strings attached check for $50,000. And I'm like telling the people of Second Baptist Church, it's like, it's amazing. 13 years ago, he supplied us $50,000. All in the meantime, the meanwhile, there's the miracle of all miracles that has just happened here at 28 North Street, where we're becoming one church body. But I'm held up on something that happened 13 years ago. It'd be bizarre, right, to not reference the miracle that's happening, taking place right now, today. New mercies are new every single morning. And there should be a new song of praise on our hearts, coming from our lips, not just to God, but where we're sharing it with others. And you may say, well, that is not how I feel this morning. I do not feel that way. My life is really hard right now. We live in a military community where deployments are happening all of the time. So maybe you're one of those families who came in, just said bye to a loved one for a few months. Maybe you just lost a loved one. Maybe you found out you have to move and you're like, no, I would just encourage, no, there's no new song. I would encourage you to dig deep down, child of God. His mercies are still new every single morning. My cousin Lisa went on to be with Jesus back June 11th, 2010. June 11th, 2010. She died in her low 30s of breast cancer, had three beautiful kids, a husband. I mean, it was a devastating thing that took place. And her and my dad would correspond back and forth, writing letters to each other, typically through email. They had a really special bond. And she wrote this just a few days before she passed away. This is what she wrote to my dad, a portion of what she wrote to my dad. George, I wrote a letter to my best friend today and finished the ones to the boys. Not one tear. My heart is at peace, and I believe ready. Wow. The peace of Jesus is amazing. Amazing. It is fresh within me. The only thing that is fresh is Jesus. His mercies are new every morning. No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me, to the point where you could be facing death and there's still a new song of praise on your lips. Something fresh. Lisa, facing death, something fresh on her lips, still declaring the glory of God. This is what we have been created for. We are called to sing, and this singing is not just about singing, it's about blessing his name, proclaiming his salvation from day to day. We can sing and we can praise even in the midst of facing death because of his mercies that are new every morning, his grace that is extended to us every single day. This is what we were created for. Secondly, we see the reason that we sing, and that's in verses 4-6. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Why do we sing? Because God is great. He's highly praised. He is feared above all gods. God alone is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. A great God deserves great worship, deserves to be greatly praised. And our praise that we offer up should be proportionate to the greatness of the God that we serve. Now, that you hear and think, that's impossible. Like, that's impossible. There's no way that as a human being, even filled with the Spirit, that I'm going to offer up enough praise that is proportionate to the greatness of God. Well, that's correct. I would actually say, you are correct. That is actually an impossible feat here on this planet. But I want you to think about, have you ever been around someone who's kind of half-hearted? Maybe they're the guy on the, I think about in college when we'd play pickup basketball at the church, and that is where it went down, by the way. Those of you who grew up in church, pickup basketball in the church gym, we threw it down. It was very serious. But you would have someone on your team that was half-hearted, and you're like, come on, man, like play harder. You know, or you got a friend who's half-hearted, you're in a conversation and they're half, you know what I'm talking about, just being half-hearted. What we are called to in this, you're never really going to be able to offer up praise that is proportionate to the greatness of God, but what God is calling you to is a non-half-hearted praise, a all-in, full surrender, your heart, soul, might, and strength, worship and praise to God. Every bit of who you are, all of it, all of you. That's what we're called to, all of you. Every single day, dying to yourself daily, taking up your cross, full surrender to God, no half-hearted worship to a God who deserves so much worship and so much praise. Our great God is worthy of it all. He's worthy of all of you. And by the way, worship is a lot more than just singing. We're working on some new signage here on campus, and one of the things we got back, it specifically had worship at 9:30 a.m. So we're kind of sorting this back and forth with the sign guy. His name is Kim. That's irrelevant. And, you know, we're real careful with what we say around here. And we're actually like, well, we're removing that because worship is not just about the 9:30 a.m. gathering. Worship is a lifestyle. So what won't go on the sign is worship at 9:30 a.m. because that's signaling to the world that this is all that we do when we worship. We're just here for an hour and then we're gone. No, worship is a lifestyle. It's an everyday, 24/7, 7 days a week, all of us surrendered to God. But notice what the psalmist warns that we must guard against. That is worthless idols. That is worthless idols. He says in verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, what some people treat as a god really has no power of life. They're worthless. They're nothing. Idols could be carved out images. Bowing down and worshiping things like that, that doesn't tend to be what we see in America today. They may not be that. Idols can be money, relationships, your career, your kids can become an idol. We would say anything that captures your trust, your love, your obedience above God, that's an idol. A living God is the reason that we sing and we praise. And there's something about the beauty of Jesus. When it fills you, you realize, man, this is what I've been longing for. Gives you strength to make it through each day. He's the God who makes all things new through Jesus. He's worthy of it all. And this is what we've been called to. His name is Jesus, and he'll change your life. Thirdly, I want you to see quickly the global invitation to sing. And that's in verses 7 and 8. The psalmist writes, ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. The nations are being summoned to ascribe glory and strength to the Lord. That means to give, to yield, to hand over, to tribute one's allegiance to. It's this surrender that we've been called to. It's an act of worship. It's a way of acknowledging that God alone is glorious. He's strong. He's reigning over all the earth. And the nations are called to not only speak praise to God, but to bring offerings to his courts. This is a sacrificial gift or like a tribute to a great king. The imagery shifts to the nations approaching God as subjects, approaching an imperial throne. We know we bring a tribute to God not to bring about his favor. It's not why we worship. We're not trying to get him to like us more. We bring offerings of sacrificial praise to God because he's worthy of it all. He's so worthy of it all. We bow in reverent worship to a holy and beautiful God because he's worthy of it all. Verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. By the way, trembling is not a panic-driven fear, but a holy shudder, an awe-filled recognition that the Lord has invited sinners into his court, and we worship with both reverence and a joyfulness grounded in the character of a holy God who draws us in with his grace. Verses 10 and 12 say, among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. He judges the peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy. Notice this global invitation. All creation is being summoned to sing his joy and his praise. It's a crescendo of cosmic joy, the heavens and earth, the seas, the fields, the forests, the creatures, all joining together in praise. It's one large worshiping community. All creation made to reflect the glory of God. God's reign is not merely human concern, it's a cosmic one. And this call is on all of our lives to praise and to worship him, to glorify him, because he's worthy of it all. You know, we just referenced the Alotte Moon Christmas offering. And by the way, y'all have done amazing. Thousands of dollars have already been raised. Amazing. Committing to giving to world missions. Why do you think we do that? Like, why do you think we send missionaries all across the world? And you might be able to, Great Commission, go and make disciples. That is part of it. But then also, like, we're reading, this is what everyone has been created for. People all over the world for the glory of God. So we send because we want everyone, even those who have yet to hear the name of Jesus, to know that the Lord reigns. We want them to join in on these songs of praise that we sing to God. That's why we send out. That's why we're so passionate about this. It's not just a few verses that make up the Great Commission. It's, we're reading from cover to cover in Scripture. This is what we have been created for. We want people to know that Jesus reigns, that he lived a life we could never live, and then died a death that we were deserving of. He rose again, conquering sin and grave and conquering an enemy that we had no ability to ever conquer. And now he reigns supreme. We want people to know that so they can join in on these songs of praise, so that they can experience what these kids experience. Some of them have yet to profess Jesus is Lord, yet something happens in them when they sing it to us. It's because we've been created for this. You have been created for this. Don't miss verse 13. Before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness. Judgment is coming, and that's not meant as a threat. It's actually hope. It's hope. Because Jesus judges the world with righteousness and faithfulness, we can rest assured that oppression will one day end, that all wrongs will be righted, that all the evil that's taking place in the world, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you've been paying attention to the news just this week in our own country, it's everywhere. Across the world, it's everywhere. Not just America, everywhere. All of that's over because of a righteous and faithful judge. Truth will prevail. Suffering will be no more. Our worship today anticipates the renewal of all things. That is why Elisa, facing death just a few days later, can write about the freshness of Jesus. This is because this is real. That is why you can come in the lowest of the lowest of seasons or on a mountaintop and sing the praises of God. It's what you've been created for, and He will give you the strength to do it. The question for you is, have you truly seen His glory, and are you singing His praise? And that's a question only you can answer. Have you truly seen His glory, and are you singing His praise? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? And let me tell you, He's extending His grace to you right now. He would love to take you from death to life right now. We would love for you to join us, those of us who are believers, and join the angels in singing hymns of praise to God right now. He'll save you right now if you cry out in desperation to Him, repenting of your sin, acknowledging your belief in Jesus, that He died on the cross for you, that He rose again, conquering sin and grave, ascending into heaven, has been sending His Spirit down ever since. If you declare that, if you believe that, man, He'll save you. And it will change everything about life for you. We were created for this. And part of this Advent season is remembering that a real physical Jesus came down on this planet. The person being baptized next week, a 10-year-old kid who gave his life to Jesus. He probably got a little bored because I was talking with him about the evidence of Jesus, that He's real. He's real, and He'll change your life. Let me close this in prayer. God, we are grateful that You are worthy of praise. We are grateful for this calling that You've put on our lives to live a life of worship. And whether we're here right now, gathered in a building with the church, singing and reading Your word and preaching, or whether we're all over the world, and there are Christians all over the world, maybe some not able to even gather right now, it's still worship. You've created us for worship, 24/7 worship. Thank You. There's just nothing like the name of Jesus and singing Your praise. We pray for the ones who have yet to experience Your glory, who have yet to taste and see that You are good. Would You speak to them right now in this moment? Give them the faith to step out and say, I need Jesus. We love You. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, go ahead and stand up. We do have one last song of worship for you. If you need to just come down and pray here at the altar. If you want to pray with someone from our prayer team or talk with them about salvation or need prayer, come and talk to one of us. Come and talk to me. We'd love to pray with you. But let's continue on in our worship through singing.